Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Corey and I and Jeff have a great show coming right around the corner at you here. We're going to be chatting in segments 3, 4, and 5 with our roundtable of experts, obviously people like Dan Oliver and Peter Grandich and Alex Letourneau, Rick Ackerman, Doc, etc. Then we're going to talk, go on a bit more of a political bent in the second hour. We're going to be chatting in a couple of segments with one of my favorite politicians, Congressman Walter Jones from North Carolina. We're also going to be talking with his chief of staff, Glenn Downs. Going to open up the show with Jeff Deist. Jeff has been involved with us for quite some time now. As everyone, I'm sure, is aware, he is the president of the Mises Institute. We've mentioned that later on. We mentioned that last week, if I'm not mistaken. And I got to tell you, Lou Rockwell's a heck of a guy. And I don't think anybody can ever completely take his place. But I think Jeff is just going to do an absolutely marvelous job down there. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the relationship or how important economics is in people's everyday lives. You know, it's not just about money, is it?
Well, no. If you really, economics is the stuff of life. That's why Mises, Ludwig von Mises, came up with the phrase human action to basically describe, you know, his praxeology or his description of Austrian economics methodology. So essentially, you know, here we are at Christmas time, and we're in a charitable or giving mood, hopefully, and we start to think, well, you know, life isn't just about dollars and cents, and that economics is important, and, you know, that's an important part of life, and it's an important part of public policy, et cetera, but gee whiz, at some point we have to get just past the dollars and cents and get to a more human level and you know, care about people and not just care about the bottom line. And I think that this is really a gross misperception when people think about free market or market economics. Really, human action is just life itself. In other words, when human beings came up out of caves and developed fire and developed shelter and developed clothing and developed better methods to hunt and eventually developed agriculture, these were all human action. This was all economics. But it was as personal and as charitable and as beneficial to human progress and human well-being as any, you know, far more than anything, you know, let's say government might do today. So I think we make a mistake when we view economics as sort of this dismal science that's, you know, just our dollars and cents financial lives, but it's somehow separate and distinct from us as human beings, because it's not. It's just a different way, really, of defining and looking at economics.
Jeff, I really think you hit the nail on the head there, is that economics goes beyond the dollars and cents, and it goes into human actions and just the human aspect of economics. And that's really what the country was founded on, is people having a dream and helping each other out. And we all know that it's easier to help each other out during good times when people have money, and it's easier to give money when you have money. But it's also about this time of the year, giving your time. And I was wondering if it's maybe one thing you've seen or noticed recently. Have you seen more people giving their time or more people being willing to help out their fellow man here in America?
Well, it's certainly been a rough economy for many, many years now, so there's a tremendous need for it. It's interesting to talk about charity and the economics of charity. You know, first and foremost, you have to have a prosperous society so that individuals and organizations have any money left over, so to speak, to provide charity. And that's why it's so ironic that folks on the left who hate capitalism and who hate profit also want us to be, you know, a society that cares about the poor, because it's only society that allocates its resources efficiently and thus creates profit and has correct price signals that lead to profit or loss to tell entrepreneurs whether they're doing something right or doing something wrong. It's only those societies that can sort of develop the largesse where all the individuals in society are not just living hand to mouth and can create some wealth, accumulate some wealth, and have charitable impulses, or the ability to have charitable impulses in the first place. But, you know, there's a lot of ways you could view charity. There's certainly economic models that could view how humans go about giving charity and what works better and what doesn't. And of course, we could have a lengthy discussion about overhead and what makes a good charitable organization. And you could even go so far as to take sort of the Doug Casey approach, which is that a lot of charity actually does more harm than good, and that the only real effective charity is sort of peer-to-peer, I guess, for lack of a better term, that, you know, individual-to-individual. And when individuals receive charity, let's say, from larger private organizations or from government in some form of welfare, they don't have an incentive or motivation to sort of act on it or repay it or become self-sufficient, you know, when there's that extra middleman in between the person giving the charity and the person receiving it, it often tends to yield bad results. So I think that's what Doug Casey's getting at, although, Al, some people might view him as a Grinch. But, you know, obviously, I think America's been a charitable nation, at least in large part, because it's been a relatively rich nation.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You know, it's interesting, but I firmly believe that one of the largest disincentives known to man is, and I don't want to say charity, okay, but I want to say that one of the largest disincentives to man is when people can count on something for nothing, and within that universe, they're able to really game the system. You know, I think there's no question, a lot of people who receive governmental assistance, whether it's on the state level, the federal level, whatever, the city level, the private level, a lot of those people truly, truly need it. You know, we discussed that at length. In an organization that I'm involved in, that's just kind of, you know, a different way to look at the world. How to help the world help itself is kind of what it's all about. But, you know, I think that it's just a travesty that American society has followed some of the European societies and really gotten into an environment where basically the government is taking care of everybody who says they want it, regardless of need. I mean, doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Jeff.
No, it's become a model. It's become a welfare as lifestyle model. And that's what social democracy is. And, you know, Mises, Hayek, Hazlitt all sort of foresaw this. I mean, they were living in the time of socialism and Marxism and communism and the conflagrations of World War I and World War II. But if you go back and read a lot of what they were writing in the first half of the 20th century, it really presages the social democracy model that's now infecting Europe and America and the West. So, you know, we've got our work cut out for us. But first and foremost, I think we have to begin to understand the devastation that social democracy brings to a society and how it really destroys people on an individual level, you know, not working, not being a productive citizen, you know, not only makes you helpless economically, but I think it also destroys people's souls and harms them morally. So clearly, whatever safety net exists, I think it should be outside of government, and I think it should be designed to create people to become who are self-sufficient.
What are some of the motivations that really drive you to give back to the community?
Well, first and foremost, I feel blessed. I had great parents and a loving home growing up, and the ability to go to college when college was still pretty cheap in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And as a result, I've had a better life than kings had a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, I would have to say it's just a matter of common sense. And the common sense is when you live in a society, you really need morally to give back to that society. You know, one of the things a person has to do is he has to take care of, and I'll use the word man here, fellow man, although women happen to be a little bit more important to me, but you got to take care of your fellow man. You got to give back. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95 and makes a great Christmas gift. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com. And you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
You know, Jeff, I have a question for you starting out the second segment here, and that is, I know all three of us agree that human beings need to have some type of incentive. They need to have an incentive that'll put them in a direction of feeling good about themselves, in my opinion, okay? At least that's the way I and all of my colleagues certainly feel about life, but... I don't know exactly what the philosophy of the Mises Institute is on that. I would guess that I'm probably lockstep right there with them, but elaborate on that a little bit for us, would you?
Well, one very attractive feature of the Austrian school is I think that it could appeal to someone who's either on the left or the right or neither politically, because really it's a value neutral approach to studying and predicting economic and human activity. So one could say, you know, here's what a society needs to do based on deductive, you know, a priori reasoning to allocate its resources in the most efficient manner and hence create the most wealth and capital accumulation and hence become, you know, the most charitable society as opposed to a society that doesn't respect property rights, that doesn't respect market mechanisms, that doesn't have freedom of contract, and thus is generally a very poor society that doesn't have any resources to devote to charity. So really, Austrianism doesn't presuppose any certain kind of political bent. It's much more predictive. And in that sense, I think it's something that anybody could look at as long as they're open-minded going into it. Now, a lot of the conclusions that we reach after studying Austrianism, a lot of the political, social, legal conclusions that we reach are, I guess I would say, are loosely viewed as sort of free market or right-wing these days. But that's not necessarily the case. And as you know, Al, the whole concept of liberalism was flipped on its head. I mean, the original liberalism was Mises and Hayek, and you know, before the 20th century sort of changed the term. What we used to mean is classical liberals, which were people who believed in civil society and markets, not government, to shape our future. And I really think that civil society and markets is where we need to be today to create the most prosperous and the most civil, charitable society we could hope to.
Jeff, when talking about Mises and this whole giving back or really focusing on different individuals in the country, does Mises have guidance not only for individuals but also for, in a sense, government and big organizations, small organizations, the whole range of what are considered individuals and entities here in the States?
Well, absolutely. I think the Austrian view or the Austrian conclusion would certainly be that governments are particularly bad at allocating resources amongst individuals because, A, you know, what's valuable and what's worthy of having resources allocated towards it is a highly subjective question, first and foremost. And then, B, when you have a government, a centrally planned collectivist socialist statist model, it's very, very hard to understand how to allocate resources simply because you don't have price signals, you don't have profit and loss signals. So it's, you know, when you take transfer payments in the form of taxes on some folks, And you sort of trickle that through the federal bureaucracy, where about 70 cents on every dollar is consumed by bureaucratic overhead. And then you dole out that remaining 30 cents in some ways that are oftentimes very counterproductive and even harmful to the recipients. You know, it sure is a lousy way to run an economy. And we know quite clearly that there are lots and lots of charities that help people a lot better and a lot cheaper than government ever could, whether that's housing, food, shelter, clothing, you know, you name it. You know, the Austrian view of market signals and market activity could definitely be applied across the board to even charitable conduct.
Yeah, you mentioned some writings by Friedrich Hayek, and I, interestingly enough, just finished reading his book, The Road to Serfdom, which I thought was a brilliant, brilliant work. And what I find to be really interesting about the way our society is right now, specifically with a bigger and bigger and bigger government, you know, and I don't want to point any fingers and I don't want to say that the current administration started that because that's absolutely ridiculous. It wasn't started by the current administration. They might be taking it, you know, stepping it up a notch, but they certainly didn't start it. But the thing that bothers me is I really believe in freedom and I really believe in free enterprise, and I really believe in the goodness of man. And I got to tell you, when you see governments coming in and taking a bigger and bigger role, that is simply taking that's allowing control on their part as opposed to total control by the individual. And I think that's just absolutely a crime.
Well, Al, first and foremost, let me just preface my response by saying you're supposed to read The Road to Serfdom by Hayek when you're about 19 or 20. So.
Well, you know what, Jeff, I got to tell you, I was more interested back in those days in Rainier beer and girls. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about your college years, but, you know, look, there's whether we like it or not, ideas run the world. And those could be bad ideas, good ideas, or no ideas. And what's running the world right now is a bad idea that government needs to exist to protect us from ourselves, to stave away poverty, to provide a social safety net, to regulate the, you know, hard edges of capitalism. And these are all obvious untruths, and it's really a terrible situation because the people who believe these untruths have unfortunately taken over our institutions. They've taken over higher education. They've taken over elementary and secondary education. They've taken over the arts. They've taken over Hollywood, and they've taken over the literary world. So they really sort of run the culture and infect the minds of young people into believing some very wrong things about capitalism and some very wrong things about socialism. So, you know, people don't like to hear this, but we're playing a long game here. And that's why I think organizations like the Mises Institute are so important, because without education, it doesn't really matter what you do. I mean, if you take our current population here in the United States, you know, a significant percentage of that population believes things that are, you know, strongly believe things that are just completely untrue about government. So you could install Ron Paul tomorrow in the White House, but until you change the hearts and minds of people, you know, you really can't change the political landscape.
Jeff, you know, I must say, coming from a younger generation than both you and Al, I'm starting to see some of my younger generation adopt these beliefs that Mises has and some of the teaching that Mises has, and it gives me some hope moving forward. You know, my generation just isn't out there saying that we need bigger government. I think we're starting to wake up to this, and I know that it's going to be a long road back from there, and maybe you guys can add a little comment here. We don't have much time left, but I think there is hope because the younger generation is starting to fight this battle, and it'll take some time, but at least there is this movement beginning, I believe.
I agree 100%. No, I got to tell you, I see that, thank God, with my girls. They're both very, very independent. They have never asked anybody for anything other than mom and dad, and they're gainfully employed and all the rest of it. And so they're great examples. Jeff, I can imagine what your kids are like along the same lines. And Corey, I know that eventually you'll be in that same position that we're in. Jeff, always appreciate your time. You know that. Going to be back with our roundtable, ladies and gentlemen. Going to talk about some economic issues and then back to politics and social issues in segments 6, 7, and 8. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on big pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, you have to admit, the people from the Mises Institute are some of the most fascinating people in the world. I have to congratulate Jeff Deist for assuming Lou Rockwell's position as president of the company of Mises. I can't think of anybody who can. I can't think of anybody who can take Lou's place, but I certainly can't think of anybody, perhaps, best in line to do that other than our friend Jeff. Okay, we have our own little Mises Institute here. We have our roundtable going. Roundtable this week consists of Peter Grandage, needs no introductions. Certainly Alex Letourneau. Alex Letourneau, in a sense, might need a bit of an introduction because he started on our show this past week. He is involved with Kitco, does a lot of analysis for Kitco, posting, etc., etc. Rick Ackerman. Rick is a regular guest on our program, so we would have absolutely no problem. You all know him. Rick's Picks, very insightful guy, considered to be one of the best technicians on the website. Doc, a.k.a. Richard Postma, also a very retired physician, very, very accurate technician. And then a new gentleman, Dan Oliver, who has been on our show starting about 3 weeks ago on a regular basis. I got to tell you, this guy is brilliant. Went to law school, went back and got an MBA, and now he's involved in the financial community. I want to start out right now, you guys, talking a little bit about gold because of what I thought was really, really interesting action in the gold market yesterday. Now, we are recording a little bit before the close, but gold still, it remains very, very choppy. We're now up about $15. $14.40 on the live spot market is depicted on Kitco. That puts gold at specifically $1,202.30 and $1,203.30. I guess my initial comment to each one of you would be, what's it all about, Alfie? Where are we going here? Let's start with you, Rick.
We talked earlier, Al. I don't think we're going very far. I'm going to stick with the 1028 target on February gold. And I think that would be a great low-risk buying opportunity. I'm not going to guarantee you it'll be a bear market low. But I'm just looking for lower gold prices before we go higher.
Dan, I want to throw it over to you here and ask if you also see this low $1,000 number come into play, and if you would recommend people wait until we get down to those levels or start to accumulate as if we move down below 1,100, say.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's important not to be too clever when you're talking about buying insurance to insure the rest of your wealth. I mean, it depends. Are you putting all your money into it, or are you putting enough money to protect yourself? You know, I liked Peter's comment on his website that the longs, you know, after you've poked your head up out of the foxhole and had a shot at it again, you're nervous. But think about it from the short side. I mean, imagine you're short on gold and you really are trying to get it below 1,200. That's the big level. And if they can't do it in the context of the taper and promising for more taper, you know, what's going to happen to be able to allow them to do that? So I'm actually very encouraged that the gold popped back up about 1,200 and we'll see if the bears can get below. And if I can't, I think we could see momentum shift here very dramatically.
Alex, I get all of my stats, all of my numbers pretty much from your site, Kitco, and I would be curious, you know, you're kind of the guy behind the postings, the guy behind the stats, certainly not influencing the stats, but the guy behind what you're showing. What's the general consensus back there, my friend?
From my perspective, it's I deal more with the mining, right? So obviously miners are going to be long on gold prices. No one's going to tell you that gold is going to go lower. Analysts, speaking with Peter Hugg today and Jim Wyckoff yesterday, you know what? Both of them don't really see much in the short term, really, for gold to go up. They can see it testing lower than 1180 for now and, you know, see what comes in the beginning of 2014. But it's not very positive right now.
Pete, I would agree with Dan when he says this little bump that we had today on Friday above 1,200 is a good sign, and it shows that there still is these buyers out there. My question to you is, if we manage to hold this 1,200 level or slightly above throughout the end of this year, even on thin trading, is that a good sign moving into the early part of 2014?
I think the biggest single reason that was given throughout the year of 2013 for the decline of gold, whether it was valid or not, was the concern about tapering and that the easiness was going to disappear. That was the reason gold had run earlier to 1,800, 1,900, and that's why you have to get out. And you could argue if you were the person that was giving that advice, it was prudent advice because that appears what happened, even though I believe there's been a different agenda which driven gold down. But if that is what most people believed, then the fact that the tapering finally happened and yet gold has not come down, at least not the first day, and of course you need to give several days before you can say we're out of the woods, I believe it is a good sign. The only problem is between now and the end of the year, the liquidity really dries it up, and I very much not like to think that whatever happens in the next 2 weeks is an indication for all of 2014.
You know, there's a kind of an interesting opinion going on out there. And, Doc, I'm going to kind of change the question to you if you don't mind. But what's going on out there right now is a number of people, as was echoed on our site by John Kaiser last week, are feeling that if, in fact, the market picks up, or if the perception, and I'm talking about the conventional markets right now, if the perception of the conventional markets picks up, that would be good for gold. I believe personally that's the case. Most of our listeners don't agree with me, but I think we're going to see more purchasing of gold, in fact, if people are a little more comfortable with the economy, because they realize in the back of their mind, you know, this sounds like a contradictory statement, but it's really not, because they realize in the back of their mind that what's going to happen when folks quit buying the U.S. debt? That, I think, would be very positive for the U.S. economy. Any comments?
Yeah, and but the only problem with that is, and I mentioned this before, that if you look at the percentage of growth year over year for money supply, it's starting to drop. That doesn't mean money supply isn't growing, but it's growing at a slower figure, and it's heading down towards zero right now on the charts, and especially with M2. And also, you know, velocity is down there. So Growth, yeah, although a lot of it recently was inventory, so the fourth quarter and the first quarter of 2014 might look a little bit poor as far as GDP. So that's a hard one to really buy. Now, bonds have had a nice run today, and somebody would I would wonder why, but bonds are actually perking up a little bit here and look like they want to go higher, and that's in spite of a higher stock market.
Doc, we chat about the velocity of money and the money supply on a regular basis, and also dealing with that around the world, because we know that countries all over the world are printing this money. And Dan, it was something you mentioned, that this lack of news may be moving forward, being that, you know what, they kind of already solved this budget issue, or at least that's what they want us to believe. The taper has already begun. We'll see what news comes out of that. Do you think that this decreasing money supply that Doc mentioned is going to come to a head here in 2014? And by decreasing money supply, I mean decreasing growth of money supply. We only have a minute left here, Dan.
Yeah, well, there are two aspects of this. I mean, you know, one, money supply affects liquidity, and I would point out to the gentleman who said that our lack of liquidity might make gold go down. And the reality is that the speculators are now short gold. The civilian banks were long. So I think any decrease in liquidity is actually gold bullish, because it means the shorts will have to cover. But yeah, when money supply goes down, it means the banking system isn't producing enough of it. I mean, the Fed controls base money, the banking system controls the higher money aggregates. And when they're not doing that, that's bad for credit, and it's bad for the economy. And gold actually used as well when credit is shrinking. So I think both those factors can be bullish for gold going forward.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Looking forward to some of the news topics that we're going to have in 2014, we really don't know what's going to come out of, say, the Fed, or what's going to come out of other countries around the world. But one thing we can be sure of is that these countries keep on going deeper and deeper into debt. We're going to continue this conversation with our roundtable right now. We just need to take a quick commercial break for the stations to recognize themselves. Everybody, stick around. We'll be right back with you.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain, normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Carlin Economics Report with our genius panel roundtable. Our members are Peter Grandich, Alex Letourneau, Rick Ackerman, Doc. You know, I got to tell you got to go a long ways to find a more interesting group of people than this. I want to ask your opinion about something, guys, that happened earlier this week. You know, I felt personally that we were going to see tapering announced on Wednesday, and the reason I felt that was going to happen is because I really believe that psychologically, if the consumers in this country get in a little better space, that's going to keep the House of Cards temporarily from falling down. And when the Fed comes out and says, we think the economic situation is getting better, and so we're going to start to taper, you know, that represents, in my mind, a certain amount of salve on the wounds for the consumers. You guys think I'm nuts? We'll start with you, Alex.
No, I don't think so. I mean, this has been ongoing now. The tapering conversation's been going on for seems like forever. We knew it was going to come. I didn't think it was going to come, you know, as early as it did. I thought it would kick off in 2014. Even all the Fed presidents were saying that they would look to do it now. Ultimately, you know, I don't see it as that big a deal. I mean, the markets reacted as they did. I don't, you know, until Yellen really takes over, I don't think we can really, you know, really say anything otherwise than, you know, people got a little spooked with this mini tapering, and if they do it bigger down the line, then, you know, we'll see what happens then.
Pete, once tapering was announced back on Wednesday, I believe we saw the markets, the conventional markets, react quite positively, and they continued to react positively through the end of the week. Do you think that this trend will continue and really bring on a late Santa Claus rally?
Well, I think we've had the bulk of it, and quite frankly, I've been somewhat satisfied only because for almost 2 years I've been speaking about, and the technicians here are more qualified to speak about it, a megaphone top that goes back almost a decade and a half. And we're right in that area now. But the thing about the tapering, which I still can't seem to find anybody in the general financial media to address, is we know that throughout these QEs, the Fed has been as much as 80% of the actual buying of the bonds. No one's talking that during this tapering that the budget deficit is going to shrink at the same time. So the question I have, and I can't seem to get any of the bulls to answer, and that is, who's going to step in now if the Fed is not buying those, that still needs to be floated because we still run at a deficit? And I just can't seem to get anybody to answer other than to say, don't worry, be happy, and buy equity. So I think that's going to be the big question is, if you're going to buy the tapering story, then please tell me where the excess buying comes in to keep buying the debt that the United States must float, unless we're suddenly going to fix our budget deficit for real.
Dan, who's going to buy the debt, man? Who's going to solve this problem?
Well, I think that's a very good comment. And don't forget, it's not just that the supply of the debt is going to go up against baseline. Don't forget that Congress is right now negotiating more spending. But the Chinese and other holders are also just hoarding their treasuries. So the Fed has been buying mostly from people who are selling their bonds. And so it's a good question. This is why I think rates are going up, because I think that when you have the main buyer of bonds disappearing and supply going up, that equals higher prices. And as we've discussed, you know, higher interest rates is terrible for a credit economy. I mean, the real estate market, the stock market, the auto market, all these markets are based on debt. And when debt becomes more expensive to hold, it means those assets have to go down in value at some point.
Rick, what do you think? Interest rates go up. We still need people to buy our debt. What's going to happen out there?
Well, believe it or not, there are still people buying our debt. You'll occasionally read the old chestnut about flight to quality on days when the world seems to be troubled. So that to me is remarkable. It's true that the Chinese have done their own tapering of treasury buying, but when push comes to shove, the whole world wants dollar-denominated instruments, because compared to all of the other basket cases out there, we'll probably be we're going to be the last man standing. And so that's what the true market is for treasuries. Also, with respect to tapering, its effect on gold in the markets, you need to understand that nobody believes any of it. It's all for show. It's all a question of managing expectations. So the Fed says, we're going to pretend we're actually tightening, and Wall Street will say, okay, we'll pretend we actually believe that. And at the gut level, though, nobody believes it. Not a single person on earth believes it. And the fact is that if interest rates, especially mortgage rates, were allowed to fluctuate to go up even slightly, it would absolutely gut and destroy a very fragile housing recovery. The whole purpose of stimulus is to get stock prices and home prices up, and that's really the name of the game. So, you know, as far as the pronounced reactions, whenever there's some stupid announcement about tapering, like, yes, it's on, it's off, it's not a true reaction. It's not Wall Street saying, oh, we believe this. It's what we've talked about before. It's the next idiot theory, which is the trade desk says that I know that how the next idiot, the competition is going to respond to this announcement, so I better respond to it in the same way. So in a way, all of the market's reactions to any tapering news over the last couple of years has been pre-programmed. It doesn't relate to the real world. None of these guys actually believe any of that. And with respect to gold's problem, for all the talk about inflation, we don't have it. You know, yes, we've got it in the lettuce bin, but in all other areas, we've got a quadrillion-dollar deflationary juggernaut that's being balanced right now. It's being offset. It's being held at bay. But there's no real compared to that deflationary black hole. Whatever we see in the way of inflation is negligible, and that's why gold has had troubles. We're in a deflationary environment right now, not inflationary.
I don't disagree with that, okay, but I have to disagree with you on one thing. You know, Romney in the last election made a statement that probably cost him an awful lot of votes, and that statement dealt with the 47%, okay? I maintain that the number of people in this country who are basically uninformed isn't 47%, but it's probably somewhere around 65%. And I would go on to say that I think that if those people believe the theatrics, the drama that's coming out right now, from most recently the Fed, then I think you're going to see consumer spending go up, and I think you're going to see housing prices going to go up and the rest of it. But I don't think that's going to be a permanent fix. Dr. Postma, you think I'm crazy? Do I need medication?
No, I don't believe so, because I don't think it is a permanent fix. And if you go back to charts, and even if you go back to the Case-Shiller charts for housing, I've never seen it where you get a move down like this and then you get better again. We're not even back to the mean inflation adjusted yet, if you go back 100 years. So I feel that we're going to move back up here, and we'll do kind of a Fibonacci on that chart. And then I think we come back down one of these months again, and I can't say when, but I think we have to get back to the mean on housing prices. And I think that happens yet, and it's true with the stock market as well.
You know, guys, one thing that really resonates with me reading the headlines every day is just how active the Fed is in controlling these stock markets. They are playing almost a day-to-day role in floating these markets, coming out with different statements from one of their bank chairmen. They are way too involved in the market right now, and that's because they think they have to be, because they need to somehow work this out. But to me, I don't think they're helping. And Pete, I want to throw this over to you. We only have about a minute and a half left, but is there any way that the Fed can back off, or do you think that they even have an interest of backing off from trying to fix what they think they can do with the markets?
I think you just have to look at Japan and go back to the 80s and in a similar situation, and how many times they felt they could finally walk away from their very easy money, low interest rate environment, only to get whacked any time they tried, and they haven't been able to do it yet. I believe the United States is going to end up finding itself in that same predicament, and that's why even if for some reason there's a so-called increase in the tapering in the next meeting or the meeting after, eventually 6 or 12 months later, I think we're right back into another sort of quasi easing mode, because I think they're, as some other people like to say, is it's QE forever. I certainly think it's QE for a very long time.
I don't think there's any question about it that it's QE for a very long time, and I don't personally see how anyone, I mean, everybody on this site basically has some fairly significant economic background, or background in economics, I guess I should say, and I got to tell you, you know, I have felt for a long, long time that this thing just simply could not continue, and it became very, very obvious to me right at the turn of the century that it was not going to work. When I had brokers calling me up and trying to sell me pipe dreams by the name of companies like JDS, Uniphase, and people like that, I realized, hey, the game has got to be over. Listen, the game is over for this hour, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break right after the top of the hour news. We're going to be right back with our panel.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.